Going to somewhat talk off the cuff. And what we're going to be talking about is really how God's been at work at Charleston Bible Church over the past year or so. And at different points, we're going to have prayer. And so, elders, I may call on you to pray, or elders' wives, or deacons' wives, or just anybody. I may just call on anybody to pray. Okay, so that will keep you tuned in, won't it? It's like, I'm going to pay attention now. But at different points, we're going to pray, and we're going to thank God, and we're going to give praise. All right, so we have this special Sunday, and you heard from me already just how important Thanksgiving, it has been important, but it's gained a heightened importance in my life, that we thank God for what we have and how He's at work, who He is. That's the height of praise. At least for my praise and Thanksgiving, I'll start out thanking God for hot showers and a cup of coffee, and then my salvation. And then that's my Saturday morning, this time just set aside for praise and Thanksgiving. And then the height of it really all is for who God is. All right, and praising Him for who He is. So we are thanking Him. As we look back over the year, this is kind of what we saw over the past year, didn't we? Everything was coronavirus. And I think the most of us are very thankful for the way Charleston Bible Church handled coronavirus. Right? We did shut down for about 7 weeks, but after that we were back together. And we did start out wearing masks, but after a while, probably in about 3 or 4 weeks, I may have been the only one wearing a mask. And so it's kind of, let's just do away with masks. And you do realize there's churches, I think, even now that aren't meeting. You know, they just do something online. So this has been on the forefront of so much, but this is one of my favorite pictures. It's in my office of this iceberg, and we kind of see what's going on the top, and there's so much more going on. And that's true this year. There's just so much more going on. And I was reminded as I was reflecting on this of the book of Habakkuk, and Habakkuk looked at his culture and how it was just moving in an ungodly direction, and he said, God, when are you going to do something? And what was God's reply? I already am doing something. I am doing something. So you need to live by faith. Yep. And God's mightily at work in our world. This coronavirus didn't take Him by surprise. And in the midst of all of it, and in a sense underneath all of it, He's mightily at work. And we've seen that here. How, in some ways, kids' clubs on Wednesday night, probably a year ago, we may have had, but just before COVID, we may have had 25 boys and girls. This past Wednesday, we had 40. I'm not exact with those numbers, but it's almost not quite having doubled. And we've got so many families. Another way, Sunday mornings, we went to an overflow. First, before COVID, we had 2 services. With COVID, everything came back together, and now we're doing overflow. And who was in overflow this week? Dave, Gabe, were you? How full was it over there? Pretty full. So maybe 20, 30 folks over there? All right. 1 or 2? 10? Yeah, at least, because I walked in there. Yep. It was. Are we over here?
No.
Oh, okay. Very good. Yeah, because of all the food. I'm afraid you'd eat it. Yeah. So anyways, we got folks going to overflow. And so that's been a part of it. And live stream. Here it was a few weeks ago, 169 people. What does that say? Reached 41 engagements. And I don't think our numbers are always that high, but we've got people who are watching online. And so those are some of the good things that have come out of all that's been going on. And so it's not like, boy, we lost half of our people over the past year. No, we've seen so many of you join in with us, and we're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. So many have joined in with us. Baptisms are always a highlight, and we had a baptism last October at the Glupker Pool, and we had 7 who were baptized. And what was such an encouragement was the joy that was a part of the baptism that day. Because from the youngest, and there's Marshall Compton. They were just so excited. And then Bryant, this is Bryant, is like, yes! And look at me, and Jonathan. And then there's Carson. All right, and Curtis, Anna, look at that. She got the Holy Spirit right there, didn't she? Yeah. And then Caleb. And there's Adrian. I think she's saying, this is really cold. This is really cold. So we had seven who were baptized. And that's always a highlight. And I say this almost every time we talk about baptisms. We want more. And we want those that we see come to faith from outside the church. I think that's the desire of all of us. But as the figure I put up in my message shows, most people that we're going to engage who come to faith in Christ are going to come from our own church family. They just are. Our children coming to faith, and that should delight us. That's what we want to see. As far as new members, boy, we've had a lot of activity with membership. And in fact, a week ago this past Thursday, we had eight folks in new members class. Right now, and they're not on this, Keith and Colette, who are over teaching 2 and 3 year olds, are in the membership portal, if you want to call it that. And then Bill and Michelle, probably next Sunday, we'll be welcoming them in. So we've got a lot of that activity going on. But also those who have joined over the past year, Emily, Jacob Newell, the Marches, who aren't here today, they are down in Florida with family down in Florida. And then Clay and Sharon Thrower. And let me say that about these different ones. It's been so good to see them engaged and not just kind of, hey, I'm a member, I'm sitting on the sideline here. These folks, Carrie is involved on Wednesday nights here. Sharon is involved with our children on Wednesday nights in music. Sharon, I was almost tempted to have our boys and girls sing a song this morning at the end. We won't do that, but you should be in that room with 40 kids singing a song, one of these old choruses. And we go here, we go with a lot of the old ones, a lot of the choruses that I grew up on. And they're just great choruses, and the kids are learning. We're indoctrinating them. Remember I told you that, we're indoctrinating them. Learning Psalm 23, learning these choruses, and probably in a few weeks we'll have them up here singing and reciting. So it's been good to see that engagement. There's Stephen. Stephen's been very engaged. Where are you at, Stephen? All right. I took that picture Wednesday. I actually had some really good pictures of Stephen about 10 years ago, which would be fun to put up. And then Robert and Adrian joining. So we had a number of folks join in with us. Regina, we don't have a picture of her yet. I hope you get to know Regina. She started coming. And actually, Chrissy, where are you at? Weren't you the one who encouraged your mom to come?
Yes.
And then she started coming, and then you ended up coming. And that Dan works with Wayne. So you see how it works? Isn't that neat? It really is. Somebody works with somebody, and they encourage them to come, and just tremendous. We're going to pray, but before we do, and I am going to ask Curtis if you would be praying for just all these ideas of baptism and new members. I've asked Danielle just to talk about what God's doing in her life. And so she's just going to take several minutes. I want you to hear testimonies of others and not me just talking up here for 40 minutes or so. And so Danielle's going to talk. McKinlan, are you going to talk? No? Okay. Danielle.
My story began as one of 5 kids born to great parents in
Sunday. I think we have a mic for you. Can you do it?
I can tell. Okay, in sunny Southern California, we didn't just go to church anytime the doors were open. We opened the doors when we came and we locked them when we left. They made significant sacrifices to invest in our lives. And from the time that we were young, they taught us to serve. They taught us to study scripture for ourselves, and they taught us to live counterculturally, which is important for Christians in California. In 2001, we moved to New Hampshire, where I finished law school. And when I passed the bar exam in 2004, God opened the door for me to move to Charleston and begin work at the Bostick Law Firm. There, Curtis gave me plenty of opportunity to learn, and Charleston Bible Church quickly became my local family, and life was good. In some ways, I had made it. I was 22 when I was sworn in as an attorney. I was debt-free, I loved my job, I had good health, and I was now on my own and enjoying my new life in Charleston. But strangely, I found myself slowly sinking into a pit of what some would label as depression. I did my best to go through the motions of life, but often when I was home alone, I would cry myself into utter exhaustion. I didn't understand it. There did not seem to be one specific triggering event, just a crippling darkness that, as much as I dreaded it, I kept going back to until it became the new normal for me. I knew I was saved. I was doing my best to follow Jesus. I was faithfully attending church and serving where I could, but my faith felt cold and shallow. I spent time in prayer and Bible study, sometimes experiencing a sweetness with Christ that felt like a spiritual breakthrough. But when I stood up to face another day, I'd find that I was still the same miserable girl. It slowly sunk in that there was no prayer I would pray or scripture I would read that would fix the mess that I had become. I went to several doctors, but they couldn't find anything wrong. And the days rolled into months and even years as my dark pit became a dark tunnel. Slowly, I put one foot in front of the other as the few friends who knew encouraged me to continue on. I heard stories of those who suffered something very similar, but they all seemed to end with, "And then I got saved." And I knew I was saved as a young child, but I was beginning to think that my story was going to end in the bottom of the pit. Eventually, Curtis encouraged me to go to biblical counseling. When the counselor asked me what was wrong, I said, "I didn't know. I couldn't explain why I, as a follower of Christ, was so empty and miserable. I expected the counselor to give me words of hope and healing, but instead, she gave me a book on pride and exercises to help me identify its presence in my life. As awkward as I felt, I began to take the simple steps that led to increased humility and increased grace. There was not a magic prayer that I prayed that pulled me out of that pit, but there was a tremendous grace and mercy that followed me through it. As I humbled myself, my Savior became my own in a deeper, richer way. I saw more clearly my own sin and need for a Savior. Slowly, I began to see the light shine on the beautiful, blessed life that I do not deserve. I began to make different choices about what I let my mind dwell on. Depression cannot coexist with an overwhelming sense of gratitude. As I found myself in a healthy place once again, I continued to work and to serve, and always sort of assumed that my dreams of marriage and motherhood would be around the next corner. Turns out, either they weren't, or it was a long, long street. But instead of feeling sorry for myself and living in a pit, I was learning to appreciate more and more the faithfulness of God and his amazing kindness toward us who believe. What an honor to serve Jesus in the small things that he brings across our path. Years turned into decades, and I feared my single life was turning into a self-centered one. When I felt prompted to look into foster care, I started in small, simple ways, not knowing where that path would lead. Over the next 2 years, I had 11 children come and go, some as short as a few nights and one as long as 9 months. Admittedly, after each one left, I felt a small sigh of relief as I got my life back. On July 24th, 2019, I got a call asking me to take 2 girls for 2 weeks. I did not know their names, their situations, their challenges, or even their race. But when I said yes, I felt down inside that these would become my girls. But I didn't dare hope, as there were a huge number of hurdles that would have to be crossed, including even my own selfishness in thinking my life was mine to get back. One of the things I prayed was that if it was the right thing, they would ask me to adopt them. Imagine my surprise when they had been with me only 2 days, and McKinlan looked up to me and asked, "Would you adopt us?" In my heart, I said yes, but I couldn't promise anything. There were a lot of decision makers in their lives, and none of them were me. I watched in amazement over the next year as God opened door after door, confirming that I should keep taking the next step. Their bio mother relinquished rights. Their foster mom asked me to take them. Their caseworkers and therapists unanimously approved. Our church family encouraged us, and my family warmly welcomed them. On September 2nd, in the crazy year of 2020, a judge made it final. I love them very much, and I am so thankful. A year into this crazy adventure of parenting, I've discovered that it is just as brutal as friends warned me it would be. Turns out two little sinners plus one big sinner makes for a lot of learning and growing, a lot of drama and tears, but I love it. Still, there are unenviable moments as I try to juggle demands and sometimes feel like the only thing I excel at is disappointing everyone. Still, if I was trying to measure my life against my own expectations, I might be tempted to feel sorry for myself instead of recognizing how richly God has blessed me. Looking back, I'm thankful. Thankful even for the years of depression that taught me that no matter how good your life is, Satan will do his best to steal your joy by feeding you the lie that you deserve better. Pride and discontent are the quicksand that drags you into a pit of despair. You will never be happy until you've traded that lie for the truth that what you actually deserve is hell. God in his mercy rescued us not only from the hell that is to come, but also from the hell that we can make our own lives by selfish living. More than anything, I'm so thankful for the cross, and I'm thankful for all of you, the church body that keeps pointing me back to it. So it was well said by the songwriter, if I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. If I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. If I told you my story, you would hear life, but it wasn't mine. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and where mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of him.
Father, I'm going to give you this so you can pray. Danielle, thank you for tremendous transparency and openness that encourages us all. So, and let me ask you this, if there was one of our ladies here who was just struggling as you spoke of in your life, can they call you? Can they talk with you? All right. I know you can be of great encouragement to them. So thank you very much. Curtis?
Father, you are in the family business. Mm. You sent your son here to make us your family. We thank you for the way that you have revealed that in a physical way in our church this past year. Father, folks being baptized, folks being added to our family. And God, I pray that we would, as you have designed it, that we would make that commitment to a place, be it here or wherever you would lead us, to be part of the family, not just someone who shows up. God, would you work in our heart that we would be part of the family? Your parting prayers, Father, on the cross, Jesus on the cross, was that we would be one as you and the Father were one. And I thank you for Danielle's family and ask for your blessing on it. Father, in the message this morning, the pastor talked about many folks' moral moorings are solidified by the time they're nine. Danielle has had a late start on that. God, would you supernaturally intervene? Would you grip those children's heart for your own?
Amen.
And I pray that for the other children in this room, God. God, I pray that our children's hearts would be turned to you. I do pray they would know your word. I pray they would know the hymns. I pray they would know how to pray and be comfortable among Christians. God, most of all, I pray they would have hearts after you. sincerely be part of the family bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray.
Amen. Okay, we want to continue looking back or looking ahead. This finances, it's always good to see God's provision. We don't make a strong emphasis on giving at Charleston Bible Church, do we? Nobody could stand up and say, boy, that's all they talk about. Pastor Joel's always talking about that. It's not the case. In fact, we don't even pass the plate around here. But that probably will change when we put our chairs back in here and add the side aisles. Okay. And nobody's laughing about that one. But that's probably what will happen. So we thank him for his provisions and just renovations. Over the past year, we haven't been still in all of this. Fellowship Hall, you've seen tremendous improvement in our Fellowship Hall, haven't you? And it continues. Children's play area, we're in permitting now. Jonathan Compton actually is moving that all forward. Is Jonathan even in here? He's back there. Moving that all forward, looking to put a play area over there, a covered pavilion sort of thing. And then I'm going to assume there's going to be some number of play toys in all of that, a place for parents. So that's going to take place. You'll see that happening. We're going to have our parking lot resurfaced probably in the next couple of months. And so we're working around here, and you see that, to have our facilities look good. They may be old, but they don't have to look bad, right? I mean, these buildings have been around since probably about 1950. So that tells you they're about 70 years old. But we've worked hard. You've been a part of that so often. Space, you know, is becoming a challenge. When I mentioned that there are 40 boys and girls in that back or that middle room over there, all right, there are a lot of boys and girls, and that's great. You're not going to hear me complaining about the fact that we have those kind of numbers in things, but it just does present to us the fact that space is an issue. The guys are across the street in the trailer over there. All right, that's worked out well for us for a short period of time. I'm not sure how much longer that will work out for us. But those are the type of things we're doing. We're maximizing space, nursery. And so that's why with the growth fund, we're making preparation for what will be in the future for us. And it's not like, I'm not expecting us, say, with this special emphasis to see $750,000 come in through this, unless somebody wants to write the large check. I mention that occasionally to people, and I don't usually get a positive response. But if we saw a goal of 10,000, and then we continue to grow that, as we make moves in the future, it's not like, well, now we're starting from scratch. Right? That's very important. All right. Go and make disciples. Missions is a big part of Charleston Bible Church. And some of you haven't been here that long, and you just maybe hear a name or two. But missions is a big part of what we do. So let me just click through some of our missionaries. Jason and Palai Go. Many of you didn't know that we support them, and they're really on staff with Remember, and they work in Burma, Myanmar, whatever name. What do you call it, Curtis?
Burma.
All right, going with the older name. And so that's where they're at. It's been challenging for them with the travel restrictions. Really tough. If you're in missions, boy, it's just taking your life and turn it upside down. Ethan and Valerie Wynn, Nicky Knox in Japan. Very challenging ministry in Japan. Katie, who, the COVID really seemed to hit her. She went, and then she had to come back, and then she was going to go, and she couldn't go. But she is in Indonesia learning the language. Did you know that she will have to learn the national language, I guess we could call it, Indonesian, and then when she begins to translate, she's going to have to learn a tribal language. She's sharp, and this is an area she just excels in. So can you imagine learning two languages? But that's what she's going to end up doing. Low Country Biblical Counseling Center, we're so engaged with them. They got a great conference coming up. Danielle, you mentioned that, the help you got there with biblical counseling. Connect Kids, this is something that has totally gone off grid. We're not allowed back in the public schools. By this fall, they may let us back in, but we used to have quite a group of boys and girls from the school just down the street. Remember, we're very involved in Remember. Curtis, I don't know if you have trips coming up or what's going on with that, but kind of getting back on track with some things, right? So, all right, here's the boys and girls at Hope Children's Home in Burma, and they're okay. See that? They're okay. All right. And then Ebenezer Baptist Church, that's been a tremendous ministry. And the connection was Ron Olchin traveling to Cuba, doing ministry there, biblical counseling. And when the hurricane came through, fully aware of the needs, this building here, the church building and their house, that church basically blew over. It was wood. How many here took a trip to Cuba? Just a large number of our people did. And this Christmas, we helped buy him a motorcycle. Isn't that neat?
Amen.
The motorcycle cost, I believe, some $7,000. As a church, we contributed about $1,900 of that at Christmas as different people gave. But buying him that motorcycle. All right, I'm going to move away, and we're moving faster, and you're going to sense that, away from what we're doing in other parts of the world to some of the things that are happening here in our classes here. It's good for us to recognize some of the folks that are kind of back behind the scenes and the part they're playing in our church nursery. Anita Marshall, is Anita in here? Anita is golden.
Amen.
Don't touch Anita. As she organizes, Anita, how many volunteers do you have in nursery? 36. It's probably like herding cats. Is it hard? She's not going to say. She's such a sweet spirit. But she works with our nursery and keeps that all going. Keith and Colette right now are next door with the 2- and 3-year-olds. Melissa has stepped in with our 4- and 5-year-olds. Suzette teaches our 1st and 2nd graders. That's the room up front here. And you're going to see from this that space is an issue for Sunday school. Suzette, if she's in here, probably has, what do you have, 11 boys and girls in that small front room last night? 13. All right. Yeah, that's a lot of boys and girls in that front room. Jody has been teaching for Danielle for a couple of months. And they outgrew their classroom. There are 14 third, fourth, and fifth graders there. And they outgrew that front room. So the issue becomes, what do?
Put them outside.
Put them outside. That's not a bad idea. And so we're splitting that class. And Danielle is going to take the girls. And Rhett, are you in here, Rhett? Has said, hey, I'll take on the boys. And that is really neat. That idea came from Keith Clayton. He said, why don't we just split it and go boys and girls? And so that's going to happen. Dana, you had 12 here. I'm going to guess your numbers have about doubled with this group from what you had before,
yeah,
over the past year. And I'm just making that point where we've seen a number of you who have joined in with us, you came with a lot of kids. You really did. You look around. Yeah. Evan, there you go. He's raising his hand. Just a lot of young couples joining in with us. And you know, that excites me as an old pastor. It really does. We're a conservative church. I'm an older pastor. And you go to churches like ours, usually, typically, what are they going to have? Just a bunch of people who look like me. And that's not bad. But we have so many young families, which is absolutely thrilling. Adult Sunday school, the adult discipleship class, Curtis has been teaching this. Our teens were in with them. And just tremendous. Children's church on Sundays, kids clubs on Wednesday. We talked about the number there. Impact, is Zach here? Zach and Leanne, is your better half? All right, there's Leanne. They work with college students. That's a ministry. When did you start that, Zach?
Probably last summer.
Last summer. So it's been going about 6-8 months. And just college students meeting on, isn't that neat? I tell you, this is really neat stuff as these things get going. And then Resolve, this is Danny, and Danny's going to come up and speak for a little while. He's got a few slides here. And then we're going to have somebody pray about just all the things. Oh, I don't want to steal your thunder there, Danny. But with Resolve, we are blessed to have Danny working with our teens and our young adults. He's just what he brings and the emphases he brings as far as them. He's not babysitting our kids, our young adults. I hear a phone. He's not babysitting. My hearing isn't going. I may be 67, but I still hear pretty well. Danny, come up and talk. I'm getting in trouble.
Well, good morning. It is a privilege to work with your kids. I thank you so much for Maybe I should use this. Thank you so much for the opportunity that you give me by bringing your kids. And it's a privilege in a number of ways. One of the ways is I'm blessed to work with young people that you are working with, and I can tell. And I'm very thankful for the homes that they come from. You guys make my job a lot easier. I hope maybe in reverse I can make your job easier too. I don't make them worse when I send them back to you. But I'm very thankful for the ministry that the Lord has given us here. And I want to start with just a short scripture. And this is from Psalm 78. And it says, "Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from our children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children." Like Pastor was telling us today, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of our God. And to me, that scripture is at the heart of what we are trying to do with all the youth ministries here at the church, but what I'm doing with the youth as well. And I was so appreciated what Pastor shared today about family devotions and the parents' ministry in the lives of the children, because really, you are plan A. You are plan A. You are where the ministry begins with the youth. And then I am support, and I'm trying to help in different ways, but I'm so thankful for that, and I'm thankful for you guys. As far as this, I'm going to try to be very brief here, but as far as this year and what it's held, Pastor's already recounted several things like COVID, and of course that shut down not just the Sunday morning ministries here, but all of our Wednesday night ministries, all of our children's ministry, our youth ministry, all of the in-person stuff. And so for a short time, like a lot of other churches, we went to Zoom. We were live streaming our services from here or recording them. And so that was a nice brief time. I learned some new things about technology, got to do things in a different way than I'd done them before. I think when we opened back up, everybody was ready to be done with meeting over Zoom. But there was a blessing that came with that and some new open doors and opportunities. And one of them was the ability to have people join us in youth group that weren't from around here and were here. We had the Winds join us. That was a special time that we had. There was a couple of those highlights where we got to meet with Katie and we got to meet with the Winds, who were miles and miles and miles away at that time. And so it's been very good. One of the other things that's happened in this last year, Pastor's alluded to it already, mentioned it already, with Zach and Leanne, we have reorganized things a little bit, and we now have a college ministry for those who are 18 to around 25 or so, for those who are younger, college and career. And Zach and Leanne have done a great job with that. We've been very excited to have them kind of transition from helping us on Wednesday nights in youth group to doing that. And it's going very well. We've been able to do some joint things together. And let me show a few pictures. This was one of the first things that we did as we were coming back. A lot of things weren't even opened up yet. But we started off with some work projects, working over A+, raising some money to give to some people. And so that was a joint project. We've done a couple of those. We had a joint conference this year in January for, it was on missions, and it was very good. And throughout this year, as pastors mentioned, the numbers in kids clubs and those places have grown. We had about 20 in youth group before we lost our seniors last year. Our seniors moved up to Impact, and now we usually have about 30. For our Christmas service, we had almost 40, which maybe we just need to have a Christmas party every day, every Wednesday, and we'll have a really good turnout. But here's some of the other things that we've done. We went, one of our highlights was actually going to Alpine, and Dave Holloway's here. And so that was great for us. It was unusual this year. We got up there, we were having a great time.
We got one chapel service. We had to go to the slopes and go skiing and tubing. There's all the, those who were tubing. And then this Sarah and I were looking forward to the evening and all the evening's activities. And Dave, as a good friend, came and said, you might want to look at the weather. And we saw a huge storm coming. And so we had to leave early. It was an adventure. No one was expecting that to happen. The kids did a great job with it. The youth did. And we had a great time on the way back. And it was a little bit sketchy at times. Some of you guys have already heard about our trip and how it went. But the Lord was good through it all. We had a good time together. And a lot of the, several of the youth said that was their favorite trip yet to Alpine. So it was very good. I could go on and on for other things that the Lord has done for us. But the last thing I would like to say is that all the things that we do here, but especially, I know for me, while I'm up here, I want to ask you to pray for me. The Lord is the only one who can do the work that we want done. He's the only one that could have done the work we've already seen done, and he's the only one that can do the work we hope to see done in the future. So if I could just beg you for your prayers for me, for those who work with the youth and all the ministries here, but please pray for us. I believe you have been praying because I see the Lord working. So thank you.
I'll take a clicker. Thank you, Danny. Jack, will you pray for, we talked about missions, we talked about just different teaching things that go on. There's just a lot more that goes on. I'm going to show a few more slides and we'll pray and be done. But just a lot of good things going on. Jack? Amen.
But you enabled us to be those small, fragile, broken vessels through which you poured out a blessing upon this church, our community, our country, and our world. So, Lord, in all that was done over this past year, we give you all the glory because we know it's what you have done.
Amen. Let me say it. I'm going to show a few more slides and we're going to be done. We'll close here hopefully by noon or a little bit after. I realize that looking at you, that God has gifted each and every one of you to be a part in what he's doing in his world today and in this church. And I want to encourage you with your different ideas. First of all, discovering your gifting and then different opportunities to bring those ideas forward. I think we're a very broad-thinking church and leadership team because traditionally in the church it was, well, would you work in nursery? Will you teach a Sunday school class? Will you usher? You know, those were kind of, there weren't a whole lot of categories. We're thinking, we're willing to think much broader than that, all right? And some of you have brought ideas, and I think you have found the leadership receptive because there's just so much opportunity. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Lord, send out workers into the harvest. He told his disciples to pray that. And so you are gifted, and really the responsibility of the elders here is to encourage you to get on the playing field and to be using your gifts. And there's nothing greater than fulfilling the calling of God on our lives. And I hope for some of us that kind of tugs at our hearts. And it's like, yeah, I want to be a part of what God is doing. Hearts and Hands, our ladies' ministry, a lot of good things happening there. They've got a retreat. I'll put a plug in for it right by Kevin back there if you want to sign up. Leanne, I think, is going to be speaking. How many times are you speaking, Leanne?
How many times that weekend?
Yeah.
One and a half.
One and a half. All right. I don't know how they do that, but they're going to be out at the beach house. And that's this weekend, so Hearts and Hands, a Tuesday morning Bible study. Ladies on Wednesday night, Jenny here is leading them, and others are helping, and the men are across the street. I don't have a picture of them over there in the trailer. Curtis, I understand it's pretty crowded over there.
Great.
Yeah, all right, very good. Here, Frontline Men's Ministry, Dave, there's a picture of you. And I didn't necessarily know you're going to be here today, but are we friends now? Did I put your picture up there? And Danny mentioned you. All right, very good. Fellowship groups on Sundays, we have different groups that meet. And then praise and worship. And we are so blessed at Charleston Bible Church with those who lead us in praise and worship. And I love being here. I think I'm one of the more radical ones here because you'll find me raising my hand and doing stuff like that. But we have a great group of those who lead us in worship, and I hope you pray for them. They play such a critical role, and even that ties into this idea of celebrating the activity of God. They lead us in that every Sunday. Every Sunday, that's their desire, is to point us upward and to glory in who our God is and how He is at work. Opportunity, there's a lot of opportunity. And maybe I should have saved my comments about you and your gifting and how God can use you. But I am convinced of that and know from Scripture that that is my job responsibility and that of the elders here, is helping you and encouraging you to develop your gifts and get on the playing field with us. All right, lots of other things going on. And I send out emails, if you're not getting emails from me, that talk about some of these things. Some of you may not know that we started a new ministry. We call it our Seasoned Saints. It's for those who have said to me, hey, will you pray for my children or my grandchildren? And so we just started meeting once a month. We were at Keith and Colette on Friday. We had 12 of us show up, and we had dinner together, and we spent a good extended time praying for families. And we share requests, pass them around. And so different things like that are going on. Danny Lee helps work with the men's ministry on Thursday night. Curtis has a group on Thursday night. There's a lot that I haven't mentioned that's taking place behind the scenes here. And if you hear about it and you want involvement, and if you hear who's a part of it or leading it, just ask them and say, hey, can I be a part of what is going on here? Okay? I would like the privilege as we close now of leading us in prayer. Danny spoke of the privilege he has working with our youth, and it's a privilege for me to be pastoring and a part of a pastoral team, because I look at all of our elders as pastors. I think that's a biblical way to look at it. They're all pastors, and I just am blessed to be a part of this leadership team and our deacons and different ones who are leading in other ways. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that in the midst of all of this corona, and everybody talked COVID and mask and social distancing, all those sort of things, Father, that you are sovereign over it all. You're our hope. You're our confidence. And we thank you that you gave us wisdom in making decisions over the past year. We give you praise. We thank you for those who have joined in with us over the past year. Father, we are blessed. We thank you for the many ministries that have taken place and new ministries that have been added and work that's taken place on facilities and our involvement with missions. Father, we have a lot to be thankful for. And I thank you for each and every one who's here even today and different throughout the week. Father, we are a blessed group of people. Would you bless us in the year ahead with more fruit? As we abide, your word says that if we'll abide in you, we'll bear much fruit. And so may we be people individually in a church in a collective sense that is abiding in Jesus Christ and bearing much fruit. And Father, we know that if that's going to happen, you're going to prune our lives. You're going to take us places we wouldn't care to go necessarily. But we know that you are working out your purposes to your glory and our good. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Anita, are there any more donuts or anything left that the kids can run over there and munch on? There's still some stuff over there, so go ahead. God bless.